AM 1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
Hello, this is John Henry, and on this episode of Honest to God, we're talking spiritual warfare. How often do you notice Satan attacking you, and how are you fighting back? From witches to werewolves, from Hollywood to the day-to-day, the attack is real and coming from all angles, and it's important to know how to fight back. All this and more on Honest to God.
All right, hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pumped to be here. This is episode number 612 of Honest to God. You are listening to an AM 1160, The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic radio. We're hanging out today with Julian and Annie and Mackenzie. And as always, we've got producer Ben. We got Benedict over there warming up his vocals, about to give us a great rendition of, what's it? Thank
the
you for
Golden
being a
Girls.
Friend. Right?
Not yet. We haven't hit that subscriber goal yet.
We might have by the time you hear this.
Maybe.
We may have. We may have. We're already on episode 612, so I'm hoping that we'll get there soon. All right, guys. But today we're actually talking about something fairly heavy with a fun group of people, because you're all veterans now. Julian, you're our newest veteran.
I am our least veteran. I am a veteran, too.
Yeah. Oh, an actual veteran.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was in the Air Force for 10 years.
I forget about that. My brother-in-law just joined the Air Force.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's been a year or so.
Keep him in our prayers.
He's doing well. Yeah, please do. So let's make sure today, because like I said, we're doing a heavy topic. We're talking about spiritual warfare. And I want to make sure that we don't forget the prayer this morning. So we're going to start off with a St. Michael prayer. And then Mackenzie, if you're okay with it, right before we started, we had Miss Janice run in here and hand us this unity prayer that is supposed to blind the devil. So we're all about that. So let's begin in prayer in the name of the Father and the Son.
Holy Spirit.
Amen. St. Michael the Archangel,
defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls.
Amen. My adorable Jesus, may our feet journey together. May our hands gather in unity. May our hearts beat in unison. May our souls be in harmony. May our thoughts be as one. May our ears listen to the silence together. May our glances profoundly penetrate each other. May our lips pray together to gain mercy from the eternal Father. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, everybody. So once again, heavy topic, but with a pretty great group of people. So hopefully we'll have as much fun as you can while talking about demons and spiritual dangers and all of that stuff. I know that we were having this conversation right before we went on air, that nobody here is actually an expert in spiritual warfare. A good friend of mine, a good friend of Julian's as well, is Dr. Paul Thigpen. Big shout out to Dr. Thigpen. He was a professor of ours in college. And then I've been in touch with him since then. A couple of saunas. He's got a great sauna at his house.
Oh, he's got an amazing sauna.
Yeah.
I was hoping that he could come out today, but I believe it's his grandson's birthday that he's celebrating.
That's awesome.
Yes.
We're going to get him on, though. But yep. He's the kind of guy that I would consider an expert in spiritual warfare. He's the kind of guy I would really love to get on here, but he's not here today. So you've kind of got like the amateur squad on here talking. I'm not knocking you guys. I include myself as part of that. But to talk about spiritual warfare, and something that I think is worth saying out loud, and we're gonna get into some stuff. I think Julian's gonna read a little bit to us here in a minute. But I feel like that almost trite cliche quote you've heard 100 times of the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was making us believe that he didn't exist. Mm-hmm. I feel like that speaks really, really true, because when I think about spiritual warfare, and I sort of run in Catholic circles, and I do a lot of reading, and I've got my deliverance prayers for the laity book and stuff beside my bed. But when I hear about it, I automatically start thinking about The Exorcist or The Exorcism of Emily Rose, or sort of these Hollywoodized, cartoonized versions of exorcisms or of the devil as sort of the guy in the red jumpsuit with his little trident hopping around. And I think that's a really dangerous thing for us to do. When we were saying the prayers a minute ago, I was thinking about, because we've been at a parish before where they say thrust into hell as opposed to cast into hell. And I was thinking about that change of phrase and why I prefer the cast into hell version. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about why do I prefer the cast into hell version? Because the devil is this scary thing that seems like it would be, you know, thrusting is a hard, difficult thing, right? When you're trying to thrust, you're thinking about a battering ram. You're thinking about something that's like difficult and requires a lot of physical energy. But I think I like Cast better because it is a reminder that even though the devil is a really serious danger to us and wants to take us away from salvation and all that we've been created for, compared to God, right? Compared to the armies of heaven, I like Cast because it's what you do to garbage. It's what you do to something that's unnecessary. You cast away a spent cigarette out of the window, right? Or you cast away a dirty napkin into the trash can. So when I say spiritual warfare, what comes to mind for you? What are your thoughts, Mackenzie?
I don't know. I guess, I mean, kind of the first thing I think of is like perseverance.
Okay.
And I know that's kind of like generic or broad, but I mean, I haven't really had any like crazy experiences with spiritual warfare, but I think like little ones that I have had, it's been like, I don't know, it just kind of takes persistence and prayer.
What are the ones you have had?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like it's hard to discern whether things are like spiritual warfare or if they're just, you know, your own self or like mental stuff that's going on. So I feel like that's something that I've been working on, is trying to like discern. So I'm not, you know. Yeah.
Okay, sure. No, what about you, Julian? I mean, what comes to mind, and then what experiences have you had?
I've had way too many encounters with spiritual warfare, and I know they're never going to stop. And I have some really deep stories that, you know, perhaps we can get into later, because I don't want to throw it out, you know, come out the gate swinging. Right. But what comes to mind for me, honestly, is to keep it simple. And I think of holy water, because it's such a great defense to it. You know, when you walk into a church and you see holy water, you always bless yourself with holy water. And that's like what comes to mind first for me, because it's a great weapon against it.
Right. I was, I watched a YouTube video that I now show to my kids, my students in class every year. And it's of this really anti-Catholic Protestant minister. And obviously I'm not knocking all Protestants, but this particular Protestant pastor, whatever he called himself, is located somewhere out in Arizona. And his whole sermon was this anti-Catholic sermon, right? And he was talking about, he did a piece on holy water, and he did something on how we worship Mary and all the sort of the garbage things that you always hear. But the way that he mocked and laughed like so derisively at sacramentals and things that like holy water in particular, that he literally got a toilet brush and went and threw water from a bucket on all of these people. And I was just thinking, once again, going back to the talking about the devil, talking about demons, talking about spiritual warfare, how great that would be if you were a demon. I think about Screwtape Letters, right? I think about Screwtape and how he'd be like, nice, got it. Yeah, he's mocking this thing, and that is efficacious and really does things. So I want to get back to holy water in a little bit, but I want to hear from Annie first.
Honestly, what I think about is fear. I feel like a lot of people like don't understand it, and so we fear it and like not to look into it. I feel like I fall into that too. It's like, it's scary to think about the spiritual warfare in a lot of ways, just because there's a lot of unknown. And so I just like, sometimes I feel like I get in the habit, I'm like, oh, I don't want to look into that. But the more I have looked into it, I'm like, oh, like God is so much more powerful.
Right.
And we have the defenses on our side. Like we will win.
Right.
And so I think maybe the devil is trying to make us fear so we don't have the knowledge that we need to defend against him.
Yeah. And I think I talk a lot on here about how I deal with pride and how I'm a big fan of myself, which is a problem. Right. And I think there's some pride in that. There's some pride where you look at the saints who have actually experienced like actual demons, like your Padre Pio and like fighting with the devil and stuff. And there's this fear element, as if the devil would ever like need to do anything like that with me, as if I'm strong enough. And I'm not saying that I'm you know, never going to be bothered by the devil at all, but I'm saying that you look at the saints who experience that and the holiness of these men and women, and they're experiencing it because the devil's not able to get at them other ways. Mm-hmm. Me, I'm so weak, right? And I'm so tied up and bogged down by sin that why would he ever want, if anything, it would strengthen my faith for him to come out of a closet and punch me in the face. Right. And so I was thinking about spiritual warfare on the way over here. And I was thinking about something that I deal with a lot, which is, if you've ever heard of like imposter syndrome, right?
Oh, yes.
This idea that you're really a fake. I feel this way a lot. I'm sorry for pointing at you, Annie. You're really a fake. No, but you're really a fake, right? And I'm a father. I'm a husband. I work in Catholic education. Mm. I'm doing this show. I've been involved in youth ministry. And I have always had my entire life sort of in the back of my brain this idea that, everybody's going to figure you out. You've just been failing your way up for a little while. Mm. And that's what I think of as spiritual warfare. That's what I think of when I think of demonic attacks on me. It's the devil, it's demons who are feeding me these lies of, no, you're not actually good. Like, you're not actually good enough. Like, yeah, this is cute. You're wearing these masks and you're able to trick all these people into this. But eventually, come on, man. Come on. It's all going to fall out. Mm-hmm. Looks like you want to say something, Julia.
I had a scratch on my face, but I can absolutely relate. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm going to law school at University of Georgia, and I sit next to people that graduated from Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and it's extremely intimidating because I joined the military and then graduated from Kennesaw State. And that's not a knock against Kennesaw State, right. But there was an imposter syndrome that I have dealt with and battled constantly.
Right.
So I can relate.
I think when talking about imposter syndrome, I feel like a lot of that would play into he's trying to cause division and make us seem like we're not able to be united, because when we come together, it sounds so cliche or whatever, but we truly are stronger and more powerful. And so it's he's trying to make you think that you're not able to be part of the group, or you're not the same as everyone else.
Right.
So.
Right. And just wallow in how different whatever you are and think that this is all just a ruse. And eventually everybody's going to find out how much you suck and how you're rotten and bad.
Exactly. So then it causes you to go off and be by yourself and not want to be around other people when you just feel bad about yourself. And you're like,
that work looking inwardly has become such a theme these last couple of shows that we filmed, just sort of how the devil wants us to be alone and isolated because then we're so vulnerable for attacks, for him to strip us of all the things that make us good and wonderful and are making us bound towards heaven, right?
Yeah, I was just gonna say one of the biggest things he uses is discouragement. Mm-hmm. He loves to use discouragement, and it's so small, so you don't even see it happening. I see that all the time in my life. I get discouraged about something, so I'm like, oh, I'm gonna give up. Right. And that's exactly what he wants, but he does it in such small ways. And I feel like I don't realize spiritual warfare happening a lot because it's small thoughts, you were saying, and they just attack you, but you're not realizing. You're like, oh, that's just me thinking. And so you start to believe them.
I had a priest buddy of mine tell me not too long ago, and I forget the Latin phrase he used, but what it meant was he told me that I've always heard this phrase, and I always thought it meant sort of concupiscence, right? Sort of we tend towards sin. And he said, but I realized when I was digging in that it actually meant we all have the tinder of sin, as in tinder, what you would build a fire with. Mm. And right, no matter how holy you are, right? You can arm yourself with grace and all of these things and make it so it's harder for that flame to ignite that tinder. But once it does, it'll flame up, because I experience that, right? When if it's been a while since I've been to confession, or if I'm in mortal sin or something, I need to go to confession, that I almost feel that tinder of sin ignited in me. And it's like, well, I might as well I might as well do this, get it in for free. I already got to go to confession. Mm-hmm. I might as well do these things or whatever. And I ended up having that conversation with that priest because I got a text message about something. I won't go into any details. And it bothered me and it hurt me. And I immediately sort of fell into just being judgmental and disparaging and wanting to gossip and wanting to do all of these things because I felt hurt. And that was that lighting of that tinder of sin in my heart. Mm. So I can go off on that for a while. But, We can talk about experiences a little bit, because I think it's important to call those out. And I think the devil really wants us to hide in that shame. And I think it's important to acknowledge myself, and you guys are welcome to, but to anybody who's listening too, that we don't have it all together at all, right? We don't have it all together. And we do wear lots of masks and we fake, right? We fake on a regular basis in ways. I mean, not everybody, but 99.9% of us do, right? And we pretend like we're more confident than we are, and we pretend like we've got it all together, and we don't have to, right? Because we're not strong enough to overcome sin, right? God is, right? That's the great thing. He said that we win in the end, and it's true, right? I'm a bad person in lots of ways, right? I make lots of bad decisions. I'm not a bad person. I make lots of bad decisions, right? And I I can't overcome it. And I have to thank God for those opportunities to be humiliated, because what those are reminders that I can't do it by myself. I need God. I would love, I mean, because we're kind of in a dark place right now a little bit. If you're open to sharing some stories about spiritual attacks, Julian.
Sure.
If you're comfortable, I'd love to hear one.
Not too long ago, I was camping with my parents. My wife and I, we recently bought a very small camper, which is a great tool to bond with the family,
because
it gets you out of nature. We don't have a TV in there. And so we go and my parents have this campground that they like to go to up in North Carolina.
This show is actually brought to you by the concept of camping with your in-laws, just so everybody knows.
Well, yeah, more on that later. Some people don't like naming their artifacts or their stuff, but we did name it Joanne after Rachel's grandmother. So
I name all my, any vehicle gets a name.
Yeah, vehicles get names.
Guns get names too.
Yes, yes. But my parents had our youngest for a week, and he got to spend some time with them, which was great. And my oldest was at summer camp, and my parents got to the campground first, and they said, hey, there was this nice couple next to them that had their son there and was playing with Logan. I was like, okay, great. And so I arrived the next day, and my mom, I was like, yeah, that's them. I'm like, cool. And she goes, but it's weird. This lady gave me these books. I was like, what are you talking about? And there was like these three books. One of them involved sex magic. One of them involved how to possess another.
This was a random woman at a campground?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And I took one look at those books and I went, who? And I pulled out my crucifix and went straight over to that lady. I'm like, I'm going to find out who this woman is.
Right.
And my son was over there playing with her child, and just talked to her for a few minutes. She had this interesting necklace around her that was like spiral. And I was like, okay, I've never seen anything like that before. And I said, so ma'am, what is that? Like we talked, you know, for a few minutes, and she was like, oh, it's horse DNA. I said, well, that's okay. That's interesting. She's like, I'm into horses. And I was like, oh.
As you do.
Yeah. I was like, horses are cool. My mom likes horses. And she goes, I'm a witch. I use it for my spells.
Oh.
Immediately when that happened, my oldest son came up to me and said, Dad, I just got stung by a bee.
Okay, right.
Yeah, and I said, well, you know, it was really nice to meet you. You know, I'll pray for you guys. God bless y'all. And that was the end of that. I went back and I said, Mom, we have to burn these books. I actually called Paul Thigpen. Yeah. I was a bit startled.
Yeah.
That's
like on the nose. Like,
wow. Almost,
yeah. I was startled. And I called Paul definitely in a bit of a frantic. And I'm like, what should I do? I feel like I should burn these books. He goes, yes. And if you can get some holy water, do that. The next day, they left, thankfully, but I got 103 fever. We did burn the books that night. I had Gregorian chant playing while we did it. We said some prayers
right
over the fire. I made sure that every like bit of those books was burned. And yeah, that felt like I was fighting a battle that day. And then the next day, paid for it with a fever that nobody else got sick, just me. It was 4th of July.
That is wild.
Yeah. So that's one of my stories of encounter with some serious,
that's intense.
Intense spiritual warfare.
We had, we actually found it. We moved into a rental property while we were building a house, and I was cleaning out the shed, and we found a book on neo-paganism and like magic with a K or something in there. And we did the same thing. We took them out and we burned them on a bonfire that night and said a prayer. And it sounds hokey. Like if you're people who are listening to this who aren't Catholic, right? Who aren't into like the Catholic deep cut stuff. It does sound like superstitious nonsense on our part.
Dramatic.
Right?
Yeah.
But once again, that goes back to this lie that it's the devil, it's not real. This is all just, what are these now? Spiritualism or whatever it is, right?
Right. I'm spiritual, but not religious.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bizarre. All right. Beat that, ladies. You got any experiences worth sharing?
I don't. Not like that. I mean, honestly, what came to mind when you were talking about that was just like, I know people have heard it a million times before, but like as much as God has a plan for us, like the devil has a plan for us. And so like,
right.
Obviously we need to be
doing
haven't
heard
things.
That a million times before, actually. I don't know if I've ever
really?
Heard the devil has a plan for us.
He has an end, like God has an individual plan for your life, but so does the devil. Like the devil has an individual plan for your life to set you off track.
Right.
And like, obviously he wants your soul in heaven. I mean, not in hell, sorry. The devil wants your soul in hell. But like, so he has a plan and he's going to like do everything he can to make that happen.
C.S. Lewis has been coming up a lot lately, but the Screwtape Letters really is. It is a great book. If you have not read it, if you're listening and haven't read Screwtape Letters, it is great because the whole story, if you don't know, is a demon mentoring a demon on how to lead people to hell, mm-hmm. right? How to lead the guy that he's in charge of to hell. And it's written from the perspective of the demon. So they keep referring to the enemy, which is God, right? Which is Jesus. So it's sort of turned on the head of what most, what we usually think of when you're reading it, but it's excellent. And it gets into sort of the minutia of it about where, the younger demon, I'm sorry, Screwtape and Wormwood.
Wormwood.
And Screwtape is the older, the mentor demon, right? Sounds right. And Screwtape is...
Because he signs them all Screwtape.
Yeah. He's telling Wormwood, he's scolding him for allowing the person who Wormwood is supposed to lead to hell. He's scolding him for allowing him to like go for a walk in a beautiful, like he went on this beautiful walk. He said, you can't let him go for beautiful walks. Don't let him experience beauty, right? Mm-hmm. But I love it because he gets into, and there's much deeper stuff too, but he gets into the minutia of how every decision really is either a step towards or a step away from salvation. And I don't know, I think that's worth chewing on a little bit. Mm-hmm. I do want to recommend a couple of books real quick, and I'd like to read a little bit from this one. If you're listening right now and spiritual warfare is something that you're interested in, which you should be, because it is a real thing. We are not talking like we're on writing for The Exorcist or the show Supernatural or something. But I really recommend the book Deliverance Prayers for the Laity. Mm. It's a fantastic book. Are y'all familiar with that book?
I have not.
Yes.
Yeah. So check it out. I had it recommended to me by somebody I really respect a while back, and it's great because it's deliverance prayers that you can pray for yourself, for your family, parents. You absolutely have spiritual authority over your children, right? Fathers, you absolutely have spiritual authority over your family, over your wives, over your children. We don't care if that's politically incorrect here. It is ontologically true. So check out Deliverance Prayers for the Laity, and it tells you sort of how you can, the ways that you can bless your family, the ways that you can bless your children. And I think when we come back in a little bit, I'm going to talk a little bit about blessing your children because of how important it is. The other book I would highly recommend is The Manual for Spiritual Warfare. It's a book from Tan, Dr. Paul Thigpen. There you go. Nice close up on Julian to get that.
I don't
book.
Know if they got that.
That you should absolutely read. So there was a passage that we just turned to here in the beginning of the episode that I thought was actually really good and gets a little into demons and what they are. Would you mind just reading us that passage?
Absolutely.
And this was not planned. It really was just opened up and said, oh, that sounds pretty good. Let's read it out loud.
So it comes from right at chapter one. It's entitled Evidence of the Battle. And it says, how do we know that demons are real? Consider first the accumulated evidence of conforming testimony. Throughout all history, peoples of vastly different cultures around the globe have affirmed the reality of evil spirits, even when they have disagreed about most other spiritual realities. Many of our contemporaries as well, who by any reasonable standard are intelligent and in their right mind, have testified to having encounters with demonic powers.
Yeah, man. It's real. It's real. It's, here, this will go off, and so I'm sorry. I'm trying to make sure we don't go into something big that I want to go into because we only have a couple of minutes before break. I'm curious because he talks about pre-Christian throughout all of history, right? There have been ideas of evil spirits, and I listened to a great talk, and it was talking about the ancient gods of Egypt and Mesopotamia and the Sumerians and all this stuff, right? And it was the guy was arguing essentially, right? We read these stories about these gods and these people who really believe in them. And we tend to think of them just like cartoon characters, right? This is like Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy or something, just like sort of little fairy tales, right? These mythologies are fairy tales. But this guy would say, no. And I'm not saying this isn't a doctrinal point I'm making, but I thought it was interesting to go down. He's saying, no, they're talking about actual supernatural events that are magic, not miracles. These are demons. These are evil mm-hmm. spirits that exist and are being worshipped, right? When the Aztecs are sacrificing children to the sun god, right? That's not just plain make-believe. They're actual demonic spirits that they're dealing with. I don't know. Thoughts, Mackenzie? I'm putting you on the spot. What is your opinion right now, hot takes with Mackenzie, on whether the gods of ancient civilizations are actually evil spirits or not?
I haven't done a lot of research on
that's all right.
that. I mean, growing up, like I went to a Catholic school and they kind of talked a lot about that kind of thing. But and like learning about like the Greek gods and kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know, it kind of reminds me of like this whole topic with like yoga and different things like
sure.
that. And how like certain positions even and like.
Go on the record right now with your stance on yoga. Let's hear it. You're gonna make a lot of people mad either way.
I know.
Yep. What you got? What you got? AM radio, dozens of listeners around the globe right now.
A lot of people have different opinions about yoga, and
yeah, we don't care though. We want to hear yours.
I would not do yoga. I feel like I am very much like a cautious person. I always like if I hear anything that could lead to something else, I'm always like, okay, then I'm not even gonna attempt with that. So I, you know, I mean, I know. A lot of it plays into like your mental, like if you're like, you know, trying not to think of things or like thinking of certain things, like, you know, that play a factor into mm-hmm. yoga, that they like calm your mind and all those different kind of stuff. I know that that's like definitely not good. But I also heard that like the actual positions are like positions that people in the past used to worship like these fake gods and stuff. So like they're not good either.
Or maybe very real entities that are not gods, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
We will get more into some of that here in a minute. This is good stuff, guys. No, I really am enjoying this. Make sure that you continue listening for part two.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see. I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and we are back. Still a pretty dark, pretty deep stuff here on Honest to God today. We're talking about spiritual warfare. And as the show continues, I realize how necessary I think it's going to be as a follow-up to get Dr. Thigpen on. I don't know if Dr. Thigpen counts as a young adult, but young at heart. Very much young at heart. So we are, if you have questions, if you have comments, please send them in and we'll make sure that we get those answered by Dr. Paul Thigpen when he comes in. If you don't know Dr. Paul Thigpen, make sure that you check him out. So one thing I do want to talk about a little bit is we've been getting into spiritual warfare from sort of the big, big, heavy stuff, right? Demonic attacks and witches and pagan rituals and stuff. And all that is 100% real, right? I'm not trying to take away that from that at all. That being said, I feel like spiritual warfare for everyone in this room and the vast majority of people doesn't look like that usually, right? You might be sometimes in your life encountering some real physical evil in front of your face in a way that is tangible and, you know, in your face. But most of that spiritual warfare we're going to experience is tied directly to our concupiscence in our day-to-day lives, right? It's mm-hmm. going to be tendency to gossip about your friend or your family member, or a desire to look at pornography, or to disrespect yourself or others, or use other people. It's going to be those day-to-day things that aren't as flashy, but are, I would argue, more deadly. Tell the story you just told about Padre Pio in that regard, because that's not what most of us are going to experience, but it's a killer story.
I love that story. So there's a story about Padre Pio. He's asleep in his room and he wakes up and his whole room is like in flames and he sees the devil standing right there. And so he takes one look at the devil and he just turns over and falls back asleep because he knows the devil can't do anything.
He's so cool.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool.
He's like, if you are listening and you do not spend a lot of time, an inordinately large amount of your spare time reading about Padre Pio, you absolutely should. That guy is incredible.
Feast day yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah. Well, they don't know what today is. Today is the feast day of Padre Pio. Right now, today. It was yesterday. I should lie, I guess, about that. And there's that awesome new that movie coming out with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to that Bishop Barron interview with Shia LaBeouf,
it was so good.
You absolutely need to check that out. That like blew me away. Okay, so I'd like to get into some of that stuff though. Some of the day-to-day things that you should do, right? We know, right, as Catholics that like venial sins are alleviated by things like crossing yourself, right? When you say a quick act of contrition, any of those things. But that nitty gritty on the ground day to day stuff, what do you do to protect yourself from sin, right? From the devil? Because it is just as much protecting yourself from the devil when you're choosing not to sin day to day as it is when you wake up in the middle of the night and the devil's standing in your room, which is engulfed in flames, and you make a decision to go back to sleep. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? Ben, producer Ben.
I think it's less of a like conscious decision to like, I know what I'm doing here and it's bad and I should stop. But it's more of a, what are the things that like you might not necessarily think that are bad, but okay, that you just kind of end up doing.
Give me an example.
Like gossiping. Gossiping, sure. Usually isn't something people think about. But I think it's setting up ways that you can fight against those.
Let's all talk maliciously about someone who gossips behind their backs right now. Just so I'm kidding. No, keep going, you're right.
But it's like setting up things for yourself, like just asking for help. Mm-hmm. Like asking, protect me against these things, and like saying daily prayer, like not just a Hail Mary or an Our Father, but actually talking to, like having a little bit of personal time, I guess, with Christ and just genuinely asking for help. Or it's like for me, I started praying a daily rosary this past Lent and I've kept it up since this past Lent. And it's just fantastic. Like my spiritual life's never been better because I'm always constantly thinking, okay, well, I've got this little bit of time. I could listen to a podcast or some music while I'm on my way to work or just pray a rosary. So that's, I have time for it and I should make time.
No, and obviously I agree, but how many times do we hear Catholics and other people say like, oh, you need to pray more. You need to do this more. And yeah, that's 100% true. That's the best advice in the world. That being said, we hear that all the time and most of us still do a crappy job of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why? What do we do? How do we do something differently? I don't have an answer for that. I'm genuinely curious.
For the rosary and stuff like that,
sure.
I've heard like, attach it to something you already do, which I don't know if like you guys talked about stuff like that before, but like something I found, I struggle praying the rosary and I'm like, I never find time for it, which I should. It's easy to find time for it, but I have a 20-minute drive to school. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, there's 20 minutes right there. I'm already driving, already in my car. So if you make it like in your habit that you already have, then you'll be able to make time for it.
I like that.
That's what I've learned.
All right. I thought you were about to say something.
Sure. I can say something.
You have a face that always says, I'm about to say a thing, but I'm trying to be polite and let somebody else speak first. Just, well, if nobody's ever told you that, you need to know that.
Well, what is that?
And right here, we're all about being honest.
Sure.
To God. So, what you got?
My godmother actually used to say that I always look like I was up to something. So I guess that's about the same.
No, this is a better one.
This is a much
you have a
one.
Wonderful contribution
that.
To make, but you're trying to be polite and not
so
talk
kind.
Over others.
Maybe I need to work on that anyway. Anyway. So I've always heard that start your day the way that you want it to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I always carry a rosary on me. I've got this one right now that a good friend of John Henry and I's, the Katie Nuzzo, now Katie Lunka, sent my family and I. So shout out to you, Katie. And I also say a rosary on the way to school, taking my kids to school. Mm-hmm. We say it right in the car and they go back and forth. My oldest son knows all the mysteries, which I'm super
That's
proud
cool.
of him. Yeah, 11 years old, knows all the mysteries of every single day. And that's how we start the day. And it's been very helpful for us spiritually.
I think I mentioned this a long time ago when we were doing a parenting thing. But I always hear people who will talk about how their spiritual life suffers when they have kids. It's been the opposite for me because I so desperately want to be this father that I feel like I'm supposed to be.
Right.
And while I might not want to, while I might not have the energy and the commitment to be the kind of man I should be for my own sake, right, because I'm lazy and, you know, I'm a fallen creature. I want to be that man for the sake of my children. And I think it makes it easier for me to do those things that I ought to be doing anyway for their sake, which is kind of backwards, but still I'll take it if it's helping me be
it's
like,
helping you.
Be the man I ought to be. What about you, Mackenzie? Overcoming sin, that day-to-day stuff. What do you do? How do you do? And you're not allowed to say, I just pray a lot.
Well, one thing that I've kind of started doing So like one habit that I have is always like believing these lies.
Totally.
Like you're not good enough, or you know, you're not able to like literally just get through daily things throughout your life. So I have kind of started to like denounce those, but I will like sometimes say it out loud because I feel like that's more powerful.
Right.
So I'll be like, I am capable to do what I have planned today. I am, you know, able to get these things done. I am, you know, and just kind of saying it out loud, I think holds a lot of power.
That's good. I really like that a lot. I work at a school that has a chapel in the school, and it's cheating. So a lot of people probably don't have this, but I have found going into the chapel and getting down on my knees in front of the tabernacle and saying, all right, God, I can't handle this, but I know that you can. Like really having that conversation. And I purposely don't try not to make it a rote prayer. So it's more of a conversation when I get in there and I say, I'm dealing with this right now. And it's driving me crazy. And this is what I want to do. Or this is how I want to act. But I know that that's wrong. And I can't overcome this. I need some backup. Please help me. And that humbling myself tends to go a long way, at least psychologically.
Yeah, I think it's that like that coming to terms with the fact that you're not good enough to beat this sometimes.
Right.
Like you can't do it alone, and you have to enlist that help.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge thing.
Well, and that's a recurring theme. It goes back to so much, right? It goes obviously back to our dependence on God, but also goes to our dependence on community and how we're not supposed to be islands. We're not supposed to be alone. I mean, I'll say this out there to anybody who's listening. As somebody who struggled with sin struggled with moral sin. I struggled with pornography for years when I was younger. The best thing that ever happened to me was being able to say these things out loud and have conversations with other guys. And that actually came before having conversations with God. It's kind of backwards, but saying stuff out loud does have a power to it. We're not Gnostics, right? We understand that we are physical beings who exist in a physical world, and we have to play into the way our brains work and the way our bodies work. And like, think about psychology and stuff when we're doing this. You have to say things out loud. I think that's huge.
Like, God can see your inner thoughts.
Right.
He knows what you're thinking at all times.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he wants you to take the initiative to ask him for help and to tell him the things that are like that are wrong and tell him the areas where you know you've fallen short.
Well, and it feels so much more real, right, when you're praying and you're praying actually out loud and saying those things.
Right.
It's a lot easier, too, to not get distracted, because that's another tool of the devil for sure, is distraction. We just did a technology episode recently, right? That distraction and that procrastination and all of that. It's a lot easier when you do it interiorly, when you're not willing to do this outside and make it a part of the physical world.
The devil uses time as a bit, like, if you don't, like, I'll be... Like, I want to do morning prayer, and time will pass where I like, can't do morning prayer anymore. And I'm like, oh, too late. Can't do it anymore. Yeah. So he uses that time as a way to be like, oh, it's too late. You can't do it. But like, that's such a lie. There's no reason I shouldn't be able to do it now.
I was riding home with my kids the other day, and I was saying, we really need to pray the rosary. You guys are going to fall asleep. We're not going to be able to get home. But it was like 5 or 10 minutes away from the house. And so my initial thought is, oh, I can't pray the rosary. I only got 5, 10 minutes. Might as well just not pray the rosary and keep listening to my audiobook or whatever stupid thing I'm doing instead. As if God's going to be like, oh, well, you're right. It doesn't count because you paused in the middle when you got home. Or, you know, if I go home and we go to sleep, we don't finish the rosary. That's okay. That's allowed. It's still better than using. I love that time. What other tools? What other tools does the devil use? That's one I think, Ben, beforehand you were talking about.
Yeah, I had a thought that, like, what are the tactics that the devil uses and that we don't necessarily, like, see and we don't notice? Mm-hmm. Like, we notice when, like, intrusive thoughts come into our mind and, like, horrible things that, like, why would I even think that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we notice those things, but what are the things that are, like, and what are the tactics that have just become commonplace, like... Things like social media and addictive technology and binge watching and these things that are man-made, yes, but Satan influenced.
Totally.
Yeah.
Ooh, man-made, but Satan influenced.
Yeah.
That's good.
And I think that has from like, and I've listened to a lot of like, there's one called Supernatural on Spotify. It's a podcast that'll like go back and like see different phenomenon throughout history, like aliens and things like that. And every now and again, they'll touch on like spiritual things that like, you know, people just see as like, you know, hoaxes or they weren't real, but like they very much could have been. And what I've kind of seen is that, from if those things are real, like werewolves, for instance. I think werewolves could have been real.
So and we're all, talking about
and
werewolves.
All, right all of the all the stories that that you find in history that have werewolves in them, they all start with a deal with the devil.
Right.
Is that a man has been promised something, like he's been promised immortality or something, and then the Satan gets to use him to carry out evil things and right. destroy man by that way. And I think now it's different, but it's a very similar thing. Like, instead of being promised immortality or like your family will do well if you give me your soul, it's right. it's instead you'll get money and you'll get power if you exploit your fellow man and if you right. addict them and show them the corruptness. And it's that influence, I think,
right.
that's kind of more prevalent in today's age.
And I don't mean to minimize it at all, but it's almost like a all the same evil but rebranded for the
exactly,
21st
yeah.
century,
uh-huh.
right? Yeah, that's
and it's how like humans don't just evolve to fit the time and the day, but it's that these spiritual things can always find new ways to entrap us and bring us into right. the sin.
Yeah, another thing that's been on my mind a lot when we've been talking about this, and we talked about it a little bit in the break. I think you used the term that was better than what I used of opening portals, right? Where very seldom are we, most of us, like actively inviting demons into our life, mm-hmm. right? We don't sit down and we like make a pact with the devil very often. There's very few people who do that, right? And I like how you brought up the old stories too, because you'd hear about all of that, right? Like, I mean, even I really like old country music, right? And there's all these stories of these guys who are literally making deals with the devil to be excellent guitar players. I mean, Devil Went Down to Georgia is a good example too, mm-hmm. right? And all of these different things. And we don't do that overtly very often. People don't. But I think there's a lot of ways that we open ourselves up to the devil, to demonic influence directly in a way that is, it is not overt, but it is direct, right? And we can all think of some, right? Like tarot cards or help me out here, guys.
Palm reading.
Ouija boards.
Yeah, the number of like middle schoolers and stuff who I've heard messing with Ouija boards. Did y'all experience any of that when you were kids? Do you have friends or family members?
I knew some people that did, but like it wasn't. We were at my cousin's one time and like their neighbors were messing with it. And one of my older cousins immediately was like, nope, and went over there and shut it down. Cool. But like I was really young then, so I didn't really understand what was going on. But I knew enough to be like, I'm not messing with that.
I remember when I was working at Walmart, I worked in the photo department. Mm-hmm. And one time we got this set of like 50, 60 pictures, but it was all like birthday invitations.
Was this in 1997? You were working in the photo like development lab at Walmart?
No, people just send in like digital photos to get printed so that we can get them. So there are these like invitations mm-hmm. to a birthday party. So a 13-year-old's birthday party, but it was Ouija board themed. That was the theme of a 13-year-old's birthday party.
Goodness. Yeah.
Things like that.
That's terrifying. What were you going to say, Mackenzie?
It reminded me of a story. I was younger and I was with my sister and one of her friends was over and we were in her room and she was like basically saying how she could like invite or have like dead people.
Right.
And like that she was sitting there and she like leaned back and she was like, yeah, that wasn't me. That was the dead person or whatever. And I was like, and then my dad walked in. He was like, like he cut it off real quick. But I had that unlocked a memory. I completely forgot about that.
But I feel like things like that are growing. People are growing in interest. We talked earlier about the people who are like, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Mm-hmm. I mean, the amount of like crystals and all those weird pagan-y things has really grown. I think it's because we live in this increasingly secularized society, but that doesn't take away our nature, which is desperate to connect with things supernatural because once again, we're not made for this world. We're not made for this plane of existence. And so they're grasping at all these things, not realizing how dangerous and real it is. It's presented as funny. And
like you were saying about, we don't believe in the devil anymore.
Right.
Yeah. That's why.
Right. Well, it's so interesting. People will say that they don't believe in the devil, but then they believe in all sorts of weird spiritualistic,
like the star signs.
Right.
Yes, and
there's so much of that.
Yeah. I read all the time that online people are talking about, oh, he's Virgo, so whatever. Yeah. Like, what does that
Our
mean?
Generation, especially, I feel like, really, has like really gotten really? More into that. Like, I barely know any girl my age who isn't like, this is my sign and this is what it means and I'm compatible with this type. And I'm like, I'm not messing with any of that. Like,
crystals have been really big too. Like, I've noticed people like have crystals around their neck or like just like do, I don't even know what they do with
and
it, but
like it's this certain type of crystal wards off this certain thing and this kind of crystal is for, and they like put them all over them. It's weird.
No, it's really weird.
I experienced a lot of that in high school too.
Yeah. You said in high school there was a lot
of that. Yeah, and I mean, I see, even in college, a lot too. Yeah. But it's normalized. It's so normal.
Well, it's interesting because that's, you know, as if that makes more sense than organized religion, right? Like, I'm not, I would never go to church, but yeah, of course I believe that these crystals ward off evil. Like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's just it's a really interesting like thought process, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Or the stars.
Yeah.
Right. How about the creator of the stars?
God forbid I'd set foot in a church on Sunday, but I think that these giant balls of gas, bajillions of miles away, totally influence my compatibility with a romantic partner.
Yeah.
No, it's something else. Now, one thing that I do want to touch on, and I talked about a little bit when I was discussing that book, Deliverance Prayers for the Laity. If you are listening right now and you are a... you're a father or you're a mother, if you're a parent of even older children, right? Regardless if you got little guys or if you've got grown children, I said earlier, and I want to double down on, you do have spiritual authority over them, right? Some of the best advice I ever got was from a parent at my school. And I was at a pig roast and we were sitting around smoking cigars and drinking bourbon or whatever. And I said, like, your kids are amazing. He's got 8 of his kids. You actually know the family. I won't say the name. But he had all these older children who are wonderful and in the faith and having children of their own and all of this stuff. And then he had another one who's still in the high school with me. And I said, how do you do it? Give me one good piece of dad advice because I want to be a good father. And he said, you have to bless your children every single night. I said, what does that look like? And he sort of walked me through what his blessings look like, right? And like, 75% of it wasn't a blessing like you would think, right? But you make the sign of the cross on the forehead, and then you give them the, you know, may God hold you and Mary keep you all the days of your life. And then there's sort of this long line of affirmations about how, not lies at all, not like, you know, you're so special and ooh, you're, but it's, you are good, right? And you are made to be good, and you are a daughter or a son of God, and you are a prince or a princess of heaven. And then it went back into, and I love you, and I am proud of you, and I'm always on your team. And even though I'm mad at you sometimes, I still love you, and I care more about your soul than, and it was this beautiful thing. And so I started doing this to my children at night, and it is, my kids are still young, so I don't know if it helps, but if this guy, don't trust me, trust this incredible father that I met at a pig roast. It's one of my biggest like parent wins, I feel like. It's good for him.
Yeah, my parents have always, growing up, they have always, God blessed us.
Do they bless you? Can you tell us what the blessing is?
Well, it's very, it's not anything extra. It's literally just like they do the sign of the cross on our forehead and they're like, God bless Mackenzie. And like, it's always before we go to bed or if we're leaving to go somewhere or anything like
and
that.
And you still do it as you're older.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Good. I too get that blessing when I went to Mackenzie's parents.
You do not have spiritual authority over other people's children. That being said, you are totally allowed to say God bless. You can ask for blessings, right? I got my hand slapped one time because I said that that I had given a blessing to somebody and they weren't my kid. And I had to like walk it back. But no, I didn't mean like I like asked that they were to be blessed. I don't have spiritual authority, whatever. Yeah. Like, some people get very upset about that. But I mean, you can say God bless you. And so you're not bringing down the Holy Spirit with your authority over them or anything. All right, guys, we are heading towards the end of our time today. This has been a lot of fun. And one of those that I feel like we could really go on for a while. We've got to get Dr. Thigpen on here. I need that for totally selfish reasons, just for that man to come and straighten me out and give me some advice, because he's such a good, holy, wonderful man. Once again, make sure you check out that book, Manual for Spiritual Warfare and Deliverance Prayers for the Laity. Both are totally legit, totally orthodox, imprimatur to death. Check it out. Now, let's move to something a little lighter and knock out some cards as we close. I do, once again, want to ask for the intercession of Saint Michael and for the protection of God over everyone who is listening to this right now. Thank you guys for being here. Let's move a little bit out of dark and supernatural warfare, and more into awesome questions like, if someone were to offer you an unlimited supply of one thing besides money, what would you ask for? It's a killer one. All my answers were immediately selfish, right? Like when I read that, it flashed through my head. I read a really great article on how horseshoe crab blood is one of the most expensive, it's the most expensive maybe liquid.
Really? On the planet.
They use it in all sorts of something for some medical thing. So, but I'm not going to do that. I'm trying to.
That's kind of money in a way.
Yeah, it's something that I cannot sell.
Yeah.
That's something that's infinite. And I don't mean to lean into the political world here, but ammo prices are expensive. And if I could get an unlimited unlimited supply of 7.62-39, I'm a big fan of that Eastern Bloc stuff for my AK-47. That would make my life really, really great. So I'm going to go with that. Also helps for overthrowing Marxist overlords if there's ever a...
I feel like we should do like the Family Feud. Like,
good answer. All right, Julian, you're up.
I'm still laughing at that last answer I heard, and I've known John Henry for a long time, and it's nothing changes.
Yeah, yeah. We're rocking and rolling.
I've got some great ones on here, and I think I'm going to go with, if you were at the park right now, what would you like to be doing? It's very much a almost like a grandpa. I'm showing my age a little bit because I'm on the older side of the young adults.
You're the oldest young adult in this room. You're a solid 2 months older than I am.
Oh, no. Okay, well, okay. So I'm picturing like a park bench and just sitting while my kids are playing in the whatever in the lawn. Wow, I lost my train of thought.
Dumpster. Parking lot.
The dumpster. Maybe throwing bread to ducks, even though some people don't like that.
Heck yeah.
And just watching them and just feeling at peace. That's
a really good day
right now.
Wow.
Feeding ducks while watching your kids play. That's a super solid way to spend an afternoon. I like it.
My question is, if you were in the circus, what would you do? I think lion tamer.
Lion tamer?
Yeah, that would be amazing.
So does that assume that you're good at it? Because I didn't hear it assumes you're good at it.
No, it
so
just
I'm
what
changing,
I do.
I'm changing the question, or I'm not changing, I'm clarifying. Right now, with your current skill set, you are in the circus.
Okay.
What do you do?
See, I don't know that many options. I'm thinking like trapeze. I can't do that. I'm scared of heights.
But you die.
I die.
Lion would kill you too.
A clown? What do they actually do? They just like run around and like
creepy.
With my skill set?
What's your best talent? What could they give you like a little side ring during the circus to do?
You put me on the spot here. I don't know.
Can you touch your tongue to your nose?
I can.
There you go. Just do that.
I can also sing my ABCs backwards. I did that last time I was
that
here.
That was really cool. All right, fine. You can do your
I could just do that backwards. The whole time.
Yeah,
that's my show.
It's a really short, like, once again, it's not the main ring, right?
Oh, it's just like an opening act.
It's like, it's not a 3-ring circus. It's like a 7-ring circus, and there's one in the back that you have
while
to pay like a nickel
taming, I'll do
to
this.
Watch her touch her tongue to her nose while saying the ABCs backwards.
That's impressive.
That'd be cool.
I'd pay to see it.
Okay, what is something you always laugh at? And I would have
currently
to
laughing.
Say just my friends and family, they crack me up all the time.
Which one in particular? Which who's the funniest one? Friends and family.
Go. I can't pick the funniest.
You must right
no.
now. After you tell everybody that if they do yoga, they're going to go to hell.
No.
You did that earlier.
No.
Now you
I
have
did
to
not
tell
mean...
us. That's what she said.
I did not
you
say
heard
that.
It here.
So you can say me. I'm right here.
Funniest. Okay, family. I'm gonna say
no. Family and friends together. You have to pick one.
The funniest person I know.
You better
like,
get an answer. I'm gonna
two?
Ask you which one you like the most. All right.
Okay.
This is the hot seat. I don't want to be here.
Mackenzie was too quiet last time, and she's such an awesome resource. She's a great guest.
Okay, I would say. That's actually really hard. Maybe probably my dad.
Your dad.
That's
a solid answer. Good answer. Good answer.
He's a funny man. I can attest to that.
He just cracks me up.
All right. Mine is, if someone were to look up your nose, what would they see? Oh,
could do this right now.
A dark abyss.
Okay.
Filled with multitudes of galaxies and an endless barrage of...
Barrage.
Clogged up sinuses.
Okay.
Because I am constantly clogged up. Actually, not really. Right
wow.
Now.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Why was that a question? What would they expect? Like,
I know,
what would
I'm
you see
sure.
up someone's nose
yeah.
other than
I'm
going to
allow it because Producer Ben technically is in charge of this whole operation. I don't want to kick him off, but that was a weird question. It wasn't your fault, Ben. It was the question's fault.
It was a good answer, though.
Good answer. All right. So as we as we close out today, I do want to just do as a little wrap up and make sure that I say out loud that spiritual warfare is something you need to take into account in your life. Right. It is not this is not a nursery rhyme. This is not a fairy tale. This whole Christianity thing is not designed to make children obey their parents. Right. It is true. Right. The faith is true with a capital T. The church is real, which means that the devil is real, which means demons are real and they want to drag you to hell. And we have to say that out loud and we have to acknowledge that. So if you are listening out there, I'm begging you for your own sake, for your spouse's sake, for your future spouse's sake, for your church's sake one day, if you're a priest, for the people in your life, this is something that we have to do purposefully. We have to acknowledge this battle and we have to fight it. You don't get a choice. You don't get to decide to opt in or opt out of this battle. You are already in. So fight the good fight, y'all. Take care of your souls. Guard yourselves. We here at Honest to God love you guys. We are praying for all of you. Thank you for listening.
This has been Honest to God. What's on your mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.